Welcome into another episode of Negative War, Positive Vibes. CJ Nikowski and Ryan Spielborgs with you. We'd like to think we're the MVPs, but we're not. We are here to talk about MVPs, the true MVPs of both the American League and the National League, announced, of course, by the Baseball Writers Association of America. No contest, Billy. Kind of exactly the way we thought it would go down. The only real question was whether or not would there be a couple of other guys that maybe got a first-place vote besides the ones that actually won it. Ended up not being the case. We'll start in the American League. I think we all knew Aaron Judge was going to be the American League MVP, the most valuable player. 30 first-place votes for him and 30 second-place votes for Bobby Witt Jr. I like that continuity. I almost wish that Juan Soto had got 30. We just call it even because he came in third. But we knew this was coming. At one point, I thought Bobby Witt Jr. had a chance, maybe with about 2 months to go in the season, of stealing some MVP votes away from Aaron Judge, especially when the batting average was as high as it was. But things started to even out. They got a little bit too close. And then, of course, you add all the power and everything else you get from Aaron Judge and considerable more on base. It ended up being a no contest. Very clear who was first and who was second. Aaron Judge with his second, should have been his third, but his second MVP.
Yeah, I mean, that. What was the other year that Judge should have won? Was it?
Wasn't it 17 with the whole thing with Jose Altuve?
Yeah, he lost it to Altuve when there's plenty of evidence that Altuve was being helped, whether or at least the Astros were being helped, and there's been arguments that Altuve didn't want it. Okay, that's like saying I don't want extra sprinkles on my ice cream. Hard to pass up on it. When I think about Aaron Judge, CJ, for me, what stood out the most about Judge, his size. The fact that this guy hits for average, I mean, the 322 batting average, he lost out to on the batting title to Bobby Witt Jr. But to be that big, like we saw league averages just plummet in the last couple of years, and it's harder and harder to hit. And for me to see somebody as big as Aaron Judge that hits for power, that has on base skills. And by the way, like the center field play that he was out there in center field this year, he's not elite, but he's also not bad. He's average to above average when necessary. So, I mean, I watch and I marvel at thinking about when it's all said and done, you know, what is number 99? Where is he going to rank for you in terms of freak athletes, you know, the Bo Jacksons of the world, the Otanis, the Deion Sanders, just because of his size. And to have MVP qualities besides his human qualities, I could care less about the big C and playing in the Bronx. I think what stands out is, you know, his skill set as a big player is remarkable. It's remarkable. Like, they don't make him like that.
No, they don't. And it's not only, as you mentioned, the batting average, which was incredibly impressive, is that as you watch his career progress, and we first saw him as a big guy when he got to the big leagues, played in 27 games and was striking out at a 45%, I should say 44% rate. That was not going to hold. He continued to get better every single year. This past season, he ends up setting a career best with just a 24% strikeout rate. And when you have the kind of power numbers and the long levers that you often talk about with big hitters, 24%, you'll take it all day long with everything else that you get. The chase has come down considerably every single year. Going back to that rookie year, we saw a 31% chase rate, which isn't terrible, but it was 19 or under 19 last year, right? That's really special for Aaron Judge. That's what I take away from what we see with him, and he's in the box. And I know for whatever reason in the postseason, it hasn't added up, but this is not about the postseason. This is about the regular season. He picks up his second MVP. Like we said, very easily could have been his third. I'd like to see him get off of center field at some point to make sure that you're preserving that big body. It doesn't seem like that is something that could last. It's asking a lot. You're going in both directions. We track these steps and everything else. And if the Yankees end up not getting Juan Soto back, it seems like the smarter move would slide him over to right field and figure out center field and left field in New York. But that's conversation for another day. But an MVP in every sense of the word, he is a great human being, carries himself extremely well, exactly what you want in pinstripes. So Aaron Judge bringing it home again. Real quick, I guess, on that part of it, just kind of as we dig into some of those numbers, when you see the chase and the swing and miss and the strikeouts come down in the regular season with consistency the way that they have, what do you make of that for Aaron Judge?
Well, I mean, they pitch him tough. The one thing, when you watch how pitchers pitch in the postseason, they're at their best. I mean, pitchers are really ramped up. The adrenaline, carry through the strike zone. And in the case of Aaron Judge, you just see it. It's almost as though, you know, that it's not that the moment's gotten too big for him. It's that the exposure of the top of the zone is able to be executed by great pitching. And so, like, over the course of a season, like, Aaron Judge had 704 at-bats. 704. 58 times a player couldn't execute, and he popped you for a homer, which is crazy. But in the postseason, that number shrinks down. This is not, you know, the fourth or fifth guy out of the starting rotation or the fifth or sixth guy coming out of the bullpen. This is the elite of the elite. And unfortunately, the big strike zone really pops out. Now, the last thing I want to point out, CJ, when it comes to Aaron Judge, is the legacy part of his career. Baseball is different than NBA and NFL because you could be a superstar and kind of push a team to a Super Bowl or NBA championship. This is going to sit over Aaron Judge's career, much like it happened with Dan Marino in the NFL, never won a Super Bowl, and a guy like Charles Barkley, an all-time great, never won a championship. And so you get bumped down in the history books of baseball because you don't have that world championship. And unfortunately for him, the postseason, he has really scuffled. So, you know, in the case of Aaron Judge, you want to stamp that he's a Hall of Famer and an inner crust guy, because I think he could be. He has to have a World Series, unfortunately, and perform at that postseason level, which he hasn't done.
It would be good to see. I think it'll happen sooner than later, and that's a team that expects to be in the postseason with some consistency. But congratulations to Aaron Judge picking up that second MVP in his career. Probably should have been his third. On the other side, for the National League, the guy who was the story in Major League Baseball all season long was Shohei Ohtani. A 50-50 season. He ends up with 59 stolen bases, 54 home runs. What I liked about the way this thing worked out, another guy who was a unanimous pick, was that nobody else snuck in there. I thought there was a chance. I actually thought maybe there would be a chance with Francisco Lindor that somebody was going to tap into that conversation about DH versus position player and being out there every day and having to be on the field. It didn't happen. He won it cleanly, which is good. I think it's a good story, but I really thought there was a chance that we were going to see a couple of first place votes maybe coming out of New York for Shohei Ohtani. Not the case, Spilly. He does it unanimously his first year with the Dodgers, and I don't think we're going to see it again based on the injury that we saw with the stolen base in the postseason and dislocating his shoulder and surgery following. Even though he's a feet-first slide guy, because he's going to be pitching again next year, luckily it was his non-throwing shoulder that he ended up hurting. Never again. He's not going to go in this run of 50-50. Like, we got to see it, enjoy it. We may not ever see it again.
I mean, the numbers both Ohtani and Judge put up are ridiculous. I hit 42 career home runs. Ohtani would laugh at that. He was like, bro, I get that by August. I think I had close to 30 stolen bases in my career, and I played in 600 plus games. Ohtani had 59 stolen bases in a season. This is from a player that can pitch, who's an elite pitcher, who's a top five pitcher in baseball. That's why I try to put in perspective for people just how incredible Ohtani is, and they just can't accept it. They don't get it. They don't understand. They're like, it's so what? Like, how hard is it to do both? I was like, no one's ever done it. And they're like, but how good of a pitcher is he? I was like, he was top five starter in all of baseball. Well, how good of a hitter is he? He just won an MVP as a DH, which no one's ever done before. How do we, and I feel like you don't, I mean, it's one thing to tell somebody how good something is, right? Mm-hmm. Like your muffins that you're making right now are delicious. If I try to push on you, those are the greatest muffins you'll ever have in your life, you'll go, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to push just how important Ohtani has been to baseball and how great he is in the history of the game, because there's no way to conceptualize or present it in a way where it feels forced to somebody. If you're not going to accept him as the greatest player you've ever seen, I can't do that for you.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Winning a MVP as a DH in a year in which he's not pitching, right? I mean, that's the other thing here about Shohei Ohtani. It is his third MVP. He is going into his age 30 season. He turned 30 in July, just past that deadline, June 30th there, July 1st. So it was a July 5th birthday, technically his age 29 season, but amazing to see. He does it again. Can't wait to see him pitch next year, right? We missed out on that this year. Obviously, he's going through the rehab, probably won't be ready to start on time, especially with this left shoulder injury, but we actually get to see both next year. One of those big questions that's sitting out there this offseason is whether or not it's going to be a rotation of Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Sasaki. And a lot of people thinking that's maybe the way that's going to go as the great might even get greater. But a World Series championship as well. What a first year it was for Shohei Ohtani. Another note that we saw come in from one of the beat writers that covers the Dodgers is that from a financial standpoint, it worked out even better than the Dodgers were expecting. And so he gives you everything and more in year one, right? All of our jaws dropped when we saw what was listed as a 10 for $700 million deal. We know it's a little bit different because of the way that it is structured, but it went to a place that we never expected. And year one into this thing, there was no adjustment period, right? How many times have we seen a really good player sign a big deal, go to a new team, and not be good in year one? The opposite here for Shohei Ohtani. Historic. Amazing to see the 50-50 season and another MVP. That'll do it for us here. Your MVPs are done. Award season is over. I think, Spilly, we got to pop back at some point and talk about the worst votes that we saw throughout award season, because there are some pretty good candidates. Perhaps, maybe, that'll be the next pod. But we appreciate you guys listening. Have a great night.